He's talking about honor and dishonor, slander and praise, treated as imposters yet are true, as unknown yet well known. Because I think there's just a reality that you need to embrace, a truth that's not always seen and felt, but as real as a Christian that we need to lean into.
Hey Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Jake Each, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. Jake, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. I mean, it's Monday morning.
It's Monday morning. This is where we're at.
It's not like you went out of your way. We're
down the hall.
We're at work. Yeah. Down the hall. There you go. Sweet. So, Jake, this was our last Sunday in 2 Corinthians for 2 weeks of Advent, right?
For 2 weeks of Advent and then 4 weeks of a rhythm series that we've kind of traditionally done at the new year.
Yep.
And then we'll jump back into 2 Corinthians towards the end of January.
Yep. So we've got 6 weeks off of 2 Corinthians where we're going to take some time to capitalize on, obviously, talking about Advent.
Yeah, Christmas, time of year.
Christmas is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal. World. And then the new year, kind of reinforcing the rhythms in our life as followers of Christ. So we'll do that.
New year, new us, right? That's the that's the approach.
It's new year, master the restart.
There you go. Yeah. I love it. That's great. Jake, yesterday we got into 2 Corinthians 6, the first 13 verses there. And just again, kind of Paul's continuing to draw out the reality of what the life following Christ truly is about. So I just saw this like plea to wholeheartedly pursue Christ, to wholeheartedly follow him, live for him. And then really just this understanding of how hardship and engaging in ministry and living for eternity all work together and are like some of the foundational building blocks of truly a life changed by Christ,
yeah.
Right? And then just saw kind of the main point yesterday, grace is real and God is worth it, which I think is it's like we plan out our messages, or it's just like every Sunday ending in the gospel is a great connection where we can talk about whether it's the Lord's Supper or baptism, which we had baptism Sunday yesterday.
Yeah, great.
Just an opportunity to celebrate and say what scripture is talking about is applicable to here and now. Mm-hmm. And when that gets lived out, God changes people's lives. Mm-hmm. So that was sweet yesterday, getting to celebrate Christ with baptism and just demonstrating just the reality of changed lives. And you talked about it at the end of your message. A part of our baptism process is people sharing their story of how the gospel has impacted their lives. And those are all online. You can go and read everybody's story that got baptized yesterday and previous baptisms, all of that. We want to continue to do a good job of telling stories of God at work in people's lives. And we get to do that on baptism Sunday and a whole bunch of other times throughout the year.
It's a wonderful expression of a profession of faith. But we can tend to, I mean, even connected to the message, one problem with our approach to Christianity is we tend to make it about heaven and not Christ.
Yeah.
And heaven or the new heavens and the new earth for eternity is a place we'll be reconciled back to God through Christ, but it's about Christ.
Yeah.
And in baptism, sometimes we just make baptism about an overly simplified expression of faith. But when you look at, like we pointed out Sunday, Jesus was baptized mm-hmm. and it commissioned or launched his public ministry.
Yep.
And really, you're reaching back into chapter 5 when we're a new creation of Christ. A baptism is like saying, I'm no longer going to live for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living, for Christ. So that was a wonderful tie in there.
I love that. you know, in the baptism process, we usually talk through Romans 6 and just that call back to, first of all, it's sweet theological nerding out of like the density of Romans. That's the first, like the first, imperative
is in consider.
Romans 6, which consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. But in there, like, I love the vision that it uses of this, like Paul's calling back, like, don't all of you know that all of you that were baptized were baptized into Christ's death and into the life that you now have. And it just gives me this like imagery of Old Testament where it's like God did something amazing. They stacked a bunch of stones. So it's like, hey, every time we see those stones, we're going to remember what God did. And I love just that connection in baptism where it's like, look at what God is doing to save people, to call him to call them to himself and to display his glory to a watching world.
Totally. And Romans 6, he's pleading for their holiness, that they would live differently.
Yeah.
And the same thing
act like it
in 2 Corinthians 5 and here in 6 as well. It's like, you're a new creation. act like it.
Yeah.
So live it out.
Yeah, that's sweet. All right, Jake, first question, as always, if you had more time, you know, I think usually 11 o'clock, it's like, we keep you here all day. Like, you get the extended version, the EP sermon message. Yeah. If you had more time to just expand on anything or include something else, what would you do there?
I think in verses 8 through 10, where we kind of pointed out these conflicting realities or really a contrast of two worlds. He's talking about honor and dishonor, slander and praise, treated as impostors yet are true, as unknown yet well-known, dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. I would have loved to spend a lot more time on that.
Yeah.
Because I think there's just a reality that you need to embrace, a truth that's not always seen and felt, but as real as a Christian that we need to lean into. So to spend more time in those verses.
Well, there's like almost every single one of those things listed there, Paul goes into greater depths somewhere else in one of his epistle letters about some other situation. Like, it's like this match, like here's this we're going to talk about. Like, this is what you're focused on. This is what's actually true.
But the contrast of like, you're seen as having nothing, but yet you possess everything in Christ. So living, helping us understand, how do we live in that contrast of like, no, you're not poor. Like, you have an inheritance in Christ. Or it's like, no, you're not unknown just because you're not included in that circle. You're well known in the family of God. So helping us lean on those truths more in this, and as sojourners and exiles in this world.
Almost being able to more quickly spot some of the lies that we might be telling ourselves.
Yeah.
We were just listened to a podcast. Sorry. Well, enjoy that. We listened to a podcast with the boys called Tiny Theologians.
Oh, yeah.
And it's these funny little stories. Like, they're like this fantastical creatures, and they're always about like different virtues. And but this morning they were even talking about like there's a Christmas special, and like at the beginning they were saying all this, like the kids were just misguided on what Christmas is all about. And if they don't perfectly perform at the play, they're going to take away people's Christmas joy because they've got to get it right. And all this, and I just kind of look in the rearview mirror and I see the older two boys just shaking their head. They're like, that's not right. Like, and but it's like, we need to have our ears tuned to our own hearts of where am I believing a lie? Yeah. Where am I misapplying this thing that looks like a good thing, but is actually goes against the gospel truth that I know to be true and that I know that I'm called to. Oh, that's super sweet.
Yeah. So, and there, one of the things that we might not understand as well in the West is, shame and honor culture, which would have been more of a reality for Paul here. So when he says about honor and dishonor there, for Paul to be arrested and publicly beaten and imprisoned, that's a lot of dishonor. That's shame in that culture. So it undermines his credibility. But Paul's saying, no, there's honor in my sacrificial living to Christ. So you're just seeing it different. And how do we help us look through the right lenses at our life?
Yeah, that's interesting. You talked on the shame and honor. There might be some people that might not really understand that lens or the like. So that's something that we see in a lot of like cross-cultural training where like, you know, more of the Near East, like ancient Near East religions have places where that's more popular. There's more of this like familial honor, shame kind of understanding. What's like the contrast to our primary lens where we're viewing reality, like more of like the individualistic.
Like in the West for us. Yeah. Individualistic success.
Yeah.
Autonomy.
Yeah.
You do you. So, I mean, it's just very, very different.
Yep. Hi, Kyle. Kyle, how's it going, buddy? Welcome to our podcast. I was snapping.
I was like, oh, what's wrong? Oh, it's people walking through the room.
Yeah. No, that's sweet. Cool. So, second question here. Why is we got into just talking about hardship and suffering. Why is a biblically based understanding and theology of hardship and suffering difficult to grasp and live out?
Well, because it's a part of life, and there's a real danger of misinterpreting it. And I think when people go through hard times, they either wrongly let that shape their theology,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to correctly let your theology lead you through the hard times.
Sure.
The first one tends to be a frequent thing where we make conclusions about God because of the hard things we go through. We make bad conclusions about God. He doesn't love me. Mm-hmm. He's forgot about me. He doesn't care about me anymore because we go through hard things.
He's not in control.
He's not in control. He's not sovereign over this. Rather than letting clear teachings in Scripture lead us through the trials, He is in control. Trials are things He uses to mm-hmm. refine His kids, that shape us, that produce endurance and hope and character, that are opportunities to give Him glory. So there's a real threat. Everybody's going to go through hardships in this fallen world mm-hmm. in some degree. And if we don't have a good theology of suffering, then those hardships will lay waste to our faith in unfortunate ways.
Yeah, that's good. Matthew wrote an article a couple months back just about preparing to suffer well, which is interesting. You don't like – it's usually like something happens. I'm in suffering.
Yeah.
But really for us as Christians, we need to be prepared to suffer well.
Yeah.
We need to train to suffer well. And how we do that is we focus on who God is, what He's done, what we know to be true about Him, so that when we have an experience, it's like, I know this is true about God. Well, this is what I'm experiencing. I need to take that and bring this to the Lord, not try to take this version of God that I've created in my mind and try to fit it into my situation.
And Scripture tells us to prepare for it in warnings, like this will be a part of life. Paul tells Timothy, anybody who takes godliness seriously, plan on opposition.
Yeah.
Or when Christ is calling people to be His disciples, he tells us to count the cost. It's like a king doesn't go into battle without first counting his soldiers, their soldiers. Are we going to be successful? You don't enter a building project, another analogy he gives, without counting what it will cost. Otherwise, you get halfway done and you can't finish and
right.
you look foolish.
Right.
And he gives that analogy to following him. It's like, hey, this is going to cost you. There's going to be opposition. You need to consider that. So when it does come, you don't throw in the towel, that you've been mentally prepared for it.
Yeah, that's good. I think the other thing, when it's so against the common, just everyday thinking of like, when the majority of life is like, it's easy to be a Christian and to be comfortable and like, no, things, God's blessing. Like, does God bless His people? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's easy to receive that because that lines pretty well up with the message of the world around us.
Mm-hmm.
But where it's the message of hardship, the worldly view is something's wrong, you need to escape it.
And we operate from such a limited vantage point. There's an old tale, I don't remember what culture it came out of, but trying to assess things that, well, I'm going to murder this story, but the point would be clear. A farmer has a son, and they catch a pack of wild stallion horses, just a prize horse. And everybody in the village is like, oh, you're so blessed. You're so blessed. And he's like, whether it's a blessing, whether it's a curse, time will tell. And we don't know. And then the horse, they're trying to break it in, and he bucks his kid off, and his kid breaks his leg. Oh, you're so cursed. You're so cursed. That horse is breaking. He's like, whether it's a blessing or a curse, time will tell. But then they go to war, and his kid can't go to war because his leg's broken. And the village is like, oh, you're so blessed. You're so blessed. It's just like these quick reactions to circumstances. Like, we don't know the whole story.
Right.
We don't know why the circumstance came into our life. We have such a limited perspective. We don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, but we can trust God's sovereignty and His guiding of His kids and to shape and refine them. So
which,
just don't be quick to overreact on things.
Right, which I think too is it kind of ties into Paul's at the end of the verses that we went through yesterday where he's pleading like, widen your hearts. Like mm-hmm. have have a broader perspective of how this applies, like what you're living out of, because you're either taking what you know to be true about God and then putting your circumstances on top of that. And it's like, well, whatever leaks through, I guess that's what's going to stick. Or you're like, no, this is what's happening, but this is who God is.
Yeah.
So that's how I'm going to live. I mean, I'm like, what I'm experiencing doesn't negate truths about God.
Yeah.
Where if your ultimate thing is, well, if things are going good or bad, like that must mean God loves me or is mad at me or like, and it's not about you.
Yeah. Good or bad. With what metrics to measure that
right.
by? Cause if we enter suffering, let's say there's a cancer diagnosis, I think there's quick to be, that's bad. Like nobody wants that. That's hard. That's difficult. But what if through that you draw closer to Christ than you've ever right. been? You learn to pray like you've never prayed. You are a light and a witness to nurses and doctors that change their eternity. So is it bad or is it not bad?
Right.
It's hard, but God uses hard things for his purposes all the time.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Okay. Last question here. Jake, what are some things that we should be willing to dive to for the sake of showing our life isn't about this life? And what are some things that we're just comfy with that we really shouldn't be that comfy with?
Yeah, I think social acceptance. We have to die to the need to be liked and have worldly approval. I think we need to die to that my joy in life and everything that I'm working for financially is for a great retirement. I don't think retirement's wrong. I don't think you have to work the same job your whole life, but you do ministry your whole life.
Right.
You serve God your whole life. And as a Christian, our rest is in his kingdom when it comes. So financially, there's ways we can die to this world to show that we're really living for the next as well.
Yeah, that's good. Interesting. I mean, it's really anything that our society would say, like, this is the good life. We should be quick to be like, is it?
Yeah. Or is it a cheap imitation?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you said this in, I think I heard you say it both in 8 a.m. and 11, and I don't know if you specifically said it in 11, but you just talked about like the cheap trinkets of this world. You like specifically said, stop settling for the cheap trinkets of this world, which is so like when you put it in that perspective, it takes me back. Is it C.S. Lewis? He's got the mud pie analogy.
Yeah.
It's like that.
When a holiday like, at sea is.
Yeah. You're turning down this offer of this glorious experience and like delighting in this treasure of a moment.
Yeah.
When you're like, nah, I'm good playing with my mud pies. Like, cause you just have no ability to understand where it's like scripture, the spirit allows us to see that like this is a cheap trinket. Mm-hmm. This is not going to bring you joy.
Yeah.
This will not fulfill you. And if you're not seeing that, maybe it's a good thing God brings about some hardship to allow you to understand that that's not going to set, that relationship is not going to satisfy you. That status is not going to satisfy you. That, you know, promotion is not going to satisfy, like whatever it is that you're putting in this, like my joy is set on this, like praise God that he doesn't allow us to experience lasting joy in that thing. It might last for a little bit. But it's not everlasting.
Yeah, no, that's
good. It's not
good.
Eternal.
That's good.
Sweet. Jake, yeah, I love how we just landed yesterday. The fact that grace is real and God is worth it. church, again, we've got opportunities and ways to submit questions. If there's something on a Sunday where you want more clarity or you're stuck on the way Jake said something or one of the other pastors, or just want to get a little bit more practical maybe about something that gets brought up. We've got a way for you to just submit questions. There's a spot in the digital program. It's in the connection group questions email. Keep sending these questions in. This is not specific to a Sunday message, but it is applicable to Sunday services and just general church operations. Jake, why is there no cross in the auditorium or really anywhere else visibly in our church identifying that we're a Christian church?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. We're very pro-cross. We're very pro being a church. We don't want to trick anybody. In fact, we've never had a conversation that has led us to say we don't want a cross or any religious symbols in our building. We've just never had a conversation the other way either.
Right.
We've been more practical and that. So as of late, we have had, hey, do we want to, you know, direct people visually to Christ? So we've had conversations of should we or shouldn't we. I think it's driven more out of the simplicity, the Protestant in us of like, hey, priesthood of all believers, we hear the word of God, the examples in our lives that we shine and the songs that we sing, not so much making an image that that validates us as Christians. We want it to be our life. So there's probably just a simplicity in it. But I think there's helpful benefits and symbols that point us to different things. But it's just never been a driving priority.
So it's not that we're so like – now that we're on this end of legalism where it's like we can't have any symbols for the sake of not causing somebody to worship a symbol. Like we're like, no, we've had a cross on stage before for a sermon series. I can't remember, a couple of years back. It tied in really well with what we were doing. And it was kind of more back when we did stage set designs before we've got a wall of screen.
That's kind of getting in the way.
I think kind of just that. Yeah, there's not. It's not that we're anti-imagery.
No, in fact, I think the more the conversation is, we are proudly a church. We don't want to hide that fact. Is there a way visually in our building we can reinforce that? That's a wonderful that I would lean into for sure. But we're also not looking for symbols or to validate us, but more of our lives and how we live and operate.
Yeah. Sweet. It's a good question.
Yeah.
I think I've maybe had that come up a couple of times and like, I mean, we like the cross. We talk about it almost every Sunday.
I think if you want to go, the symbol that we are commanded to have a practice would be the baptism and the Lord's Supper. So those are images, those are pictures of what Christ has done on our behalf, and we want to be frequent in doing those.
Yeah. Wow, that's good. Thanks. Appreciate your input. If that's not satisfactory, we'd love to continue the conversation. But I think, it is just an interesting thing where
– it may not be satisfactory because it's a preference thing.
Sure.
Like, I just like this. And we get that. People have different preferences.
But. Yeah. Yeah, and there's, I think, some of it is, what are you used to? What are you coming from? Background? I mean, it's not that we're like that. You said we're unashamedly a church. We're not trying to get people in with a bunch of different programs and entertaining things, and then gotcha, we're going to talk about Jesus. No, we're going to preach the Bible. We're going to talk about what Christ has accomplished on the cross. We're going to live that out.
Yeah.
We're going to practice the ordinances, Lord's Supper, baptism.
And there's value in facilities to facilitate ministry. And there's value, I think, to images to bring to mind truths of the scripture. But also, we can have church in a living room. You can have... There's churches that met in fields in Ireland when there's persecution. Like we're not tied to a facility with certain symbols to validate our faith community.
Yeah. Cause there's not, I mean, not that we're like, we need a chapter and verse for everything, but there's not an explicit chapter and verse that says thou shalt have a cross in your facilities amongst your worship gathering. Right?
No.
Unless I haven't read that one.
Second hesitations.
Okay. No, that's great. Church, yeah, we appreciate questions. We want to continue to think critically about stuff, think biblically about preferences, about how we worship together, about how we apply God's word. So we're thankful for the opportunity to do that. Jake, thanks for being here this morning. Church, yeah. Let's continue to remember that grace is real. God is worth it. We get to celebrate Advent this next week. Let's do it.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Love you guys.